Let me come back to what Andreas shared last night. It was about the three pillars of God's will. I write it on the board, hoping that you can all read it. First column, first pillar is our salvation. God's will is that we should all be saved. This is God's will. Then the second pillar is our sanctification. God's will is our sanctification. And God's will is to build up his church. So, as the brother shared, there are three pillars of God's will, as brother Andreas shared last night.
Andreas hat es als Säulen gekennzeichnet und ich finde, das bringt es auch sehr gut zum Ausdruck. Wenn man diese
I think that's a very good way of putting it. If you remain within these three columns, pillars, then you're on the safe side. But the three pillars are not separate. It's not first salvation, then sanctification, and then building up the church. Salvation leads to sanctification. Sanctification leads to the building up of the church. It is all interconnected. Building up of the church leads to more sanctification. It's all interconnected. And it's all based on a foundation. My title is Living in the Will of God. So it's not just about seeing God's will, but living in God's will. It's not just the question about what is God's will, but how can I be involved in God's will? I took a note yesterday. God's will can only be accomplished if we cooperate. God has his will, of course, but in order to put it into practice, God needs our cooperation. We have to agree. Yesterday we read the verse when Jesus prayed about before the crucifixion. He prayed for the Father's will to be done. The Father's will was very clear. He knew it, but the Father needs us to agree so that he can carry out his will. Without our approval, our accepting his will, his will cannot be effective. Like salvation needs our acceptance. Of course, salvation has been prepared by God and is available to all human beings, but God needs us to agree. The same applies to the sanctification. He needs us to agree. And God wants to build his church, but he needs us to agree. If we believe that God's will be automatically carried out, then we are mistaken. No, God needs us to agree. We have to use our will to agree to his will. But we should not take up his will to improve our own ideas. That's not possible. His will is absolute. So we not only have to know the will of God, but we have to live in God's will. This is not just a conference title. We read the verse yesterday. So the remaining time we should live in the will of God. We all have got some time left, and during this time we still have, we want to experience God's salvation and sanctification.
Um den Willen Gottes zu kennen, ja, natürlich, also eine Sache ist, wir müssen Gottes Wort kennen.
In order to know God's will, we need His Word, as we have sung just in the hymn. The foundation the brother has drawn yesterday on the board was not the Word, which we think might be logical. Provided we know God's will in the Word, then we live in it. No, Brother Andreas put a verse from Hebrews on the bottom block. The basis is Jesus Christ, who said, I am. This is the foundation of God's will. To know Him is important. The portion we've read from Ephesians 1 says that He has made known to us not only His will, but the mystery of His will, which He purposed in Him, in Himself. It's not adequate just to know the Word. We should know Him, the one in whom the mystery of His will is hidden. His will, to His will, there's also a mystery. By just reading, we might think that everything is written in the Word, but there is a mystery hidden underneath, and in order to know the mystery, we have to know Him. Then we can get to know the mystery which He purposed in Himself, and God would like to bring us into this. This is something very crucial, and in fact, this is the gospel. The gospel brings us into this. He wants to make know this to us, and He wants us to know Him. If we don't know Him, I'm not sure whether we really know His will. There's much more. We have to know the mystery of His will. When Jesus was living and ministering on the earth, He was quite often in an argument with the scribes and Pharisees, because there was a difference. The scribes, they knew the scriptures, they had learned it, and they were teaching it. They knew God's will. But then Jesus came, and that was somehow different. And what was the difference? Let me read a portion from John 8.
Johannes 8, ich finde es noch so deutlich. Johannes 8, Vers 54.
John 8, 54.
Mein Vater ist es, der mich.
Jesus answered, it is my Father who honors me, of whom you say, He is our God. My Father who honors me, of whom you say, that is your God. So they were teaching about their God. They believe they know God because they knew the scriptures, but they didn't know Him. And then he continues, yet you have not known Him, but I know Him. There's the difference. Jesus says, I know him. And if I say, I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. That's wrong. It's not about wrong or right. Not about this or that, but it's about knowing the Father, knowing the living God. And then we can also know his will. And we understand what salvation is, what sanctification is, and what is the building of the church. It's not just about reading, knowing it in the scripture and believing, well, I got it, it's just logical, it's right. Now I know God's will and I do it. The question is whether I do know him, the one who is the origin of this will, the living God, in whose heart there is such a will. And that sheds a different light on everything. It's my desire during this time of fellowship that we should all become hungry to learn and experience more of God's will. After this introduction, let me continue on the first pillar, the salvation. God wants to appeal the mystery of his will by the gospel. The gospel which God has given us is related to his will, that he wants us to know his will. Very often our way of considering the gospel is too narrow. Many of us, when we talk about the gospel, we think about going out, preaching the gospel, talking to people. Of course, the word gospel includes that we proclaim it, we teach it, but it's not just like making a call, let's go out now to preach the gospel. I think we first have to see what the gospel is. We need to have an appreciation of the gospel. It's not like an appeal to take action. I would like to show what is the gospel of God. If you have this appreciation, then we will live it, and that makes all the difference. In my outline, there are two parts. The first part is about the contents of the gospel and its purpose, and the second part is also about preaching the gospel. Don't think that it's not at all about preaching, but first of all, we should know the contents of the gospel. We are often too narrow in our perception if we consider the gospel just as an action. The gospel has been given for all men. God wants to save all men, in particular the believers. So the believers, we too need the gospel. And I would like to say this also for the younger saints and the young students. Unfortunately, I cannot see you, but the gospel, it means the good news that is being preached, a positive message, something that brings joy, something positive, something that is good for us. God has prepared such glad tidings for us, but we've got to know this message.
Dass Menschen nicht in die ewige Verdammnis gehen.
Many consider that it just means that it is that people don't go into eternal perdition, that people are not eternally lost and they don't have to suffer for eternity, that they are freed from perdition. And that's all they think. That is the gospel in their mind. That is part of the gospel, that's true, but just a little part. And we have also read the portion where Paul says that he announces the unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel. So the glad tidings is much more, it's more comprehensive. It's not just saving people from eternal perdition. Talking about perdition, there are still so many believers even who feel condemned. We talk about the gospel for the unbelievers to save them from perdition, but many believe and still feel that they are under perdition, that they feel condemned. The more they want to go on with the Lord. So what do we believers need? We also need the gospel. We need the glad tidings to make us happy, to give us this joy, because God has prepared something for us and we've got to know it. And that's the content and the purpose of the gospel, that we might know what God has prepared for us, for our salvation and for the building up of the church. So it's not just restricted to not being lost. It's not restricted to the unbelievers who have never heard the gospel. The mystery God wants to make known is for all men. God wants to make known this mystery to all men without exception. How good! Everybody is the same. Everybody has this privilege. And we too, we should know the gospel to appreciate what we have. So often we don't realize what we have and we don't appreciate it. And if it comes to sharing something, we don't know what to do. Many of us normally go out in the street to preach the gospel, and we want to share the faith with them, and then we meet someone who tells us, I'm a believer. And then, are we finished by preaching the gospel? We will just reply, oh, that's so nice. I'm glad to have met you. Have a nice day. But the gospel is much more. It's not just being saved. I've put many points into the outline. I cannot talk about all of them, but let's take A. And with regard to our young people who were raised in the church life and also those who just became believers just a few years ago, but also those who have been believers for decades but have never really studied what it means. The contents of the gospel. Forgiveness of our sins is just one point among so many. I cannot go through all these aspects. You have to do it yourselves. We are in a lockdown period, so you all have more time to study the word, get into this outline. I have listed the content and have also added the corresponding Bible verses. So you just go into them, study it. The young people who were raised in the church life, it's very good when they are with us and agree to everything, but I would like to challenge you to get into the Word, to study, like, what is the gospel, in fact? There are the terms and the corresponding verses. And in reading these verses, talk to Jesus while you're reading, then you will be given light and you will see more. It's not just terms. You will touch and realize what there is. But we need to dive into it. God's will always depends on my willingness to cooperate. If we think, well, it's very clear, but just ask, why did Jesus have to come? Ask yourselves, why did God have to send his son Jesus Christ to the earth? Well, God is love. Why was it not possible for God just to say, well, it all went wrong, but I understand your situation, let's forget about it. Let's just try to continue somehow. Why was it necessary for God to send his son to the earth? For what reason? Try to find out. Study the word. Why did he have to die on the cross? He prayed, Father, if it's possible to have this cup pass by. No, the Father said, there's just this one way for you to die on the cross. For what reason? What is the glad tidings in that? Ask these questions, young people. Talk to Jesus and then also ask your parents. Ask your parents to explain it to you. And then that is how you can encourage your parents to also dive into the Word. So many things we just take for granted. We agree to so many things without really knowing it in depth. God has prepared so many unsearchable riches. But we don't have the room, nor the time, nor the heart for it. We may think, well, somebody has studied it, he's going to share with me, and then it's okay. I just tick it. No, by just agreeing, you haven't got it. You yourself have to dive into it. Study the Word. Talk to Jesus. So this is the main part of this fellowship. If you get this, that's the main thing. The gospel of God is a person. It's Jesus Christ. This person, Jesus, the I am, who is the foundation of everything. He is the gospel. The gospel doesn't mean that we are requested to change our behavior. God wants to bring us into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. And today we are living in a period of time where there's just the gospel. God's gospel is all we have. The gospel is not just the beginning of our Christian life. It encompasses our whole Christian life, and it's also necessary for completing our Christian life. Paul in Galatians warned the believers that they should not be distracted from the gospel. Well, why did he say this? They all were saved from eternal perdition. Why was it necessary for Paul to specify to exhort them? Otherwise, they couldn't have been perfected. The gospel is our basis, our foundation, until we are perfected. The gospel is not a teaching, it is the person, Jesus Christ. It's not a confession of faith or theology. It's not about a doctrine or expounding the scriptures. It's all about the person, Jesus Christ, whom we have to know. And we have to come into fellowship with him. God wants to reveal him in our hearts. And also everything God has accomplished in Jesus Christ. And there is also God's work connected to the person of Jesus Christ. Everything that is important for us and for his work, God has accomplished it in Jesus Christ. And the gospel that is summed up by the statement, God did all this. That's glad tidings. Very often we look to ourselves. Let's look to what God has done. If we just look to ourselves, then the outcome will not be a gospel. Either we are too negative, or whether when it's positive, it's also not the gospel, because it's not what we are that is the gospel, but only what God has accomplished in Jesus Christ. What God reveals and brings out, what becomes, what is manifested in Christ in us, that is the gospel. So we all need the gospel. The gospel is an encouragement and strengthens us. I listed a few points about what God has done. First, about the person. Please read all these verses for yourselves. There's A, 1, B, he does the Father's works, and then come a few verses. That's about the person, Jesus, who has accomplished certain works. When you read the verses and speak with Jesus, then you will notice that is something special. It's not a person who does a work for God, but Jesus worked in God. What Jesus has done, it was the Father who worked it. You cannot separate it or take revelation as we did in our fellowship in Bonn. In Revelation 3, there the Spirit speaks, keep my works until the end. His works, the works he has accomplished, he has done, we keep them and we get into them. And part of his works is his death on the cross. We have been redeemed by his blood, of course, but the work he has done, the work God the Father has done in Christ Jesus, is not just a work you have done and then you put it on file. No, it is a work that is permanently working in us today. He accomplished it, that's true. The forgiveness of sins in his blood, that was accomplished. But we can apply the blood today, even today, and it's effective. As a believer, apply the blood. How often did you do it? You may think, well, when I have done something very bad, you know, it's so good to apply the blood daily, even though you may not be aware of any guilt. Jesus has cleansed us by his blood, and we are forgiven by the Father. We are justified. Just make yourself one with the gospel and just tell the Father, thank you for the blood. Normally in the morning I say, Lord, thank you for your blood. Cleanse me today by your blood and by your spirit. I just apply it without being aware of anything bad that has happened. It's glad tidings for me. I belong to God. It's good to start my day in this way. I belong to God. God purchased me. That is the gospel for us, the believers. Many Christians, they stop at the forgiveness of sins, but look here, there's so much more. Another good news is that our old man died with Jesus. What good news for you and for your fellow Christians. Your old man has died with Jesus. What gives us so much trouble? It's our old man. We feel so unqualified, or we feel too qualified, and then others have a problem with us. Our old man poses a real problem. But dear brothers and sisters, there's the gospel. There's good news that can make us happy. Our old man has died. He has been crucified. We have to thank the Lord, thanking God for this. That's how you can make yourself one with it. And there's so much more in our salvation. More salvation, that is part of sanctification, building up the church. Why is it difficult to build up the church? Because of my own will, my old man. The good news is that in Christ our old man was crucified. So be baptized. Make yourself one with it. Believe and be baptized. That is part of the gospel. We have to make ourselves one with it. The gospel is not just a message that is announced, but we have to make ourselves one. We have to identify ourselves with it. If it's just about eternal perdition, there's not so much to identify with. But once we see how comprehensive is God's work in Christ, there's so much more with which you can identify. He's the Spirit. He's in us. What a good news. The verse is in Colossians 1, under the title, the principal title, Colossians 1, 24-29. There it says that the gospel should be announced that Christ is in us. That's a mystery, another mystery. Christ in us. Many Christians do not realize this. They have received Christ, but they do not know him and how he is living them. Many Christians don't know what it means to have died with Christ. They don't know what it means that Christ is living in them. So it's so necessary to proclaim the gospel among ourselves and also to the outside people in the street or wherever we may be. But we have to apprehend it first, and the power that is in it in the gospel, there is God's full power. This is also part of the gospel. So often we feel too weak as Christians. Why? We have to hear the gospel and believe the gospel. We don't believe the full gospel, just part of the gospel, which we pick out and we change other parts. We have to believe the gospel in full. The gospel in full is this person and what God has done in Jesus. So to believe and to be baptized means to be identified with this work. We had a few baptisms recently here in the church in Bonn. That was wonderful. That was the testimony of people who have accepted and obeyed the gospel. Some people have started asking questions during the corona pandemic and they wondered, I've been a Christian for a while, is everything right with me before you, Lord? Listen to the gospel. Obey the gospel. And they were given the impression by the Lord that they should be baptized. Believing and being baptized, that goes together. That's the testimony that I have accepted the gospel. Some would say it's sufficient to believe. No, it is believing and being baptized. Mark 16 says, he who does not believe will be lost, but I believe. But just before it says, he who believes and is baptized, you have to read everything. If you don't believe, of course, we don't need to talk about baptism. Belief is the basis. And baptism means to testify about my belief. Then I come to point two. Go through the contents, enjoy it, apply it, experience it. And God not only wants to show us everything he has accomplished in Jesus Christ and who he is, what is decisive is that God wants to put us into fellowship with Jesus Christ. The gospel is about how God and man can come together. We can come together with the living God in Jesus. We have to be put into him. There's no other way. It's so great that just the fact that it's possible to come together with God. You could hear him before, meet him, but to come together with him is only possible since the gospel came. The gospel doesn't make us religious people, but people who live in fellowship with God. I would like to read 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9 in this context. 1 Corinthians 1, 9.
Geist Gott ist treu. Durch welche ihr berufen worden seid in die Gemeinschaft seines Sohnes.
God is faithful. By whom we were called into the fellowship of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Es geht nicht nur darum, etwas zu akzeptieren.
It's not just about accepting something. Our old man has been crucified and we ascended with Christ and we are seated with him in the heavenly places. That is accomplished. But it's not sufficient. We have to come into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Ein Gespräch und da in dem Gespräch gab es einen Begriff und ist ein Begriff gefallen und irgendwie der Begriff hat
some time ago in a conversation I had with somebody mentioned a term, our contact person. The Lord Jesus is our contact person. Fellowship with him. God not only has accomplished something in Jesus Christ, who is now seated at God's right hand, and that's it. He has accomplished everything to bring us into fellowship with him. So he is our contact person. We can apprehend everything in him. And then we experience all the riches. The verse that was quoted just a while ago was 1 Corinthians 1:9, not Ephesians. The gospel is so great, so wonderful. Another point by which was very much impressed. Something you would say, well, that's clear, everybody knows. But I've seen something. The word God has done in Jesus Christ is meant for all men. That's repeated so often, all men, everyone. Everyone who believes. That's a fact. Other methods never is for everyone. It might fit or appeal to one and less to others. But this person, this work in Jesus Christ is effective for all men. It's so great what God has done. He has conceived a plan and accomplished his plan. And what he has done is effective for all men, and it's available for all men. You don't need to have to be a special person. You may be a simple person or a complicated person. It doesn't matter what kind of a person you are. Who could do such a work? People who are developing new products, they try to gain as many customers as possible, but their product will never appeal to everyone. What God has done, however, is for everyone, for all men, not only for Jews, but also for Greek and all the nations. No matter from what culture we come, no matter our background, no matter whether we have problems or no problems, whether we're weak or strong, his work is for all men. The gospel is for all men. It's effective, full of power, and produces glory. For everyone who believes, we need to agree. We shouldn't think that it will just happen because God has purposed so. It always requires our cooperation, and our cooperation is faith. Everyone who believes, faith is in Jesus Christ. And it works also for the building up of the church. Who else could build up the church life? The work God has done in Jesus Christ, that is what we announce. That is what we preach, what we present, and we do not need to convince people. we cannot tell others, you must believe. No, he would answer, I don't have to do anything. But no, you don't have to do, but if you want to enjoy God's blessings, you have to believe. God has prepared something, just one thing, one gospel was prepared by God. There's no other way, and that way has to be taken by everyone. In our Christian background, it's not known. We may believe that everything is known in Christian countries. You may even attend a Christian school without knowing this gospel, that Jesus wants to come into you to be your life, nor what it means to live Christ. Christ is too unknown. So we have to tell people, we have to preach, to announce, and not just that we are not lost by receiving his life. The church life is the gospel today. When I'm in the street and talking with people, I'm not the natural evangelist. When I'm there, people would approach me, they ask questions, and then I speak about what Jesus is, why that was important for God. And the best thing I would say is just come and see. Visit the church in Bonn and you will see something. You will touch something, and that is the gospel. God is manifested through us. That has to be announced. Also for the Christians, it has to be announced. Even among ourselves in the meetings, we have to speak about it in our fellowship, not passing on bad news, everything that went wrong, that's too bad, our problems, our preoccupations. Well, of course, we can also speak about it, but what we need is God's good news, the gospel. And God works by his speaking. When we speak, we do not need to convince others. We testify and we try to reach others' hearts, opening their hearts, so that the Spirit is able to work and convince their heart. That God reveals his Son in people's hearts. Very often I lack the right utterance, but still the Spirit can work. Nothing depends on our ability, but it's all about the Spirit working in people's hearts to make known God's full purpose. I trust that the Spirit will give us light when we're going to read all these verses. But it's a battle because God's enemy fights against it. God's enemy, the devil, is active, is working in people's minds. And the gospel should help people to turn their way of thinking. But it's a battle also for us as Christians. It's a permanent battle to be able to turn each time God speaks to us. In Revelation, at the beginning, we see that Christ is introduced, and that is the gospel. And for every church, the Spirit speaks and we have to hear. And the Spirit speaks through us and He reveals Christ through us. That's necessary. And at the end of Revelation, it's still the same, but it's the Spirit and the Bride speaking, come. And he who hears should say, come, and would come and drink. It's still our own willingness to accept it, but the word has to be spoken, it has to be heard. And then we will see what God works, what he does. We cannot manufacture anything. We can make a campaign, of course, but I'm not sure that it's effective. We are just what we are according to what we have apprehended. We want to know and understand more and also dispense it. And then God will open doors. He has the authority. All the authority was given to him. Therefore, go and preach. He has the authority and we go and preach. The Lord tells the church in Philadelphia that he opens the door. We speak and then we see where the Lord opens a door. And if a door is closed, we just move on. I'm convinced the Lord will open many more doors in this period of time. And if people reject the gospel, we should not feel offended. Don't think, oh, he doesn't take my word. No matter the reaction, no matter. Years ago, I tried to speak to somebody. It was so difficult for me to find the right words. And then the person said, just speak your mind. But no matter by what way, we have to speak. No matter whether I feel ashamed or embarrassed, or no matter what people might think of me. And for those who we meet more often, I can make it more clear. I have the impression that it was not so clear the last time. I would like to explain something in addition. Why not? We can explain to people. That can convince them. Praise the Lord. I think I'll finish here. We announce him and now I will give the floor to all the saints to share in the preaching of the gospel.